It's beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, it's a great day. You know, the Bible says something very interesting, that until Christ comes again, there's going to continue to be the seasons. And I sort of appreciate the changing of the seasons. Naturally, I'd like a paradise. We'll have that someday in heaven. Well, I'll tell you, there's a paradise-type song we're going to play now by the Blackwood Brothers. We always have some beautiful music before our sermon for today, and the Blackwood Brothers have an old song. When we all get to heaven, oh, you all going to remember the old hymn by the Blackwood Brothers. And then I'm going to begin a very important three-part series entitled Why Bible-Believing Christians and Churches Cannot Be Allowed to Exist in the Planned New Age, New World Order. Three parts. Today, part one. So you'll want to, of course, listen to all three parts. This is a very important message that we delivered here at Bible Home Church. But first, this wonderful music, an old hymn sung majestically by the Blackwood Brothers. When we all get to heaven, what a place that's going to be.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place.
When we all
get to heaven,
what a day of rejoicing that will be.
When we all
see Jesus,
we'll sing and shout the victory.
I want to talk to you tonight about political incorrectness, about what's going to happen to Christians. What should we do in light of what's going on in the world? And the specific subject matter would be along these lines. Is it true that Bible-believing churches cannot be allowed to exist in the New Age, New World Order? I believe the answer is true. That is, yes. Bible-believing churches cannot be allowed to exist in the New Age, New World Order. I believe the world has reached its pinnacle of wickedness, or it's close to it. It'll probably get even worse than it is. We'll look back, if God does tarry and doesn't come in a couple years from now, and say, well, I didn't think it could get any worse, but it is. All right? At least we are meeting here, although such things as what happened at Waco and other places perhaps presage what might happen to anyone who truly believes in Jesus, or in anyone who believes different than what the government wants you to believe, as what happened at Waco. Now, I think we need to start off in this discussion and ask ourselves, why is it that we could not be allowed to exist? And as time goes on, you will see great criminal acts committed of persecution against Christian Bible-believing churches. Now, notice I did not say churches in general. I didn't say Christian denominations. I didn't even say Christian churches. I said Bible-believing churches. There is a great difference. There are many, many people you see on television and around, for example, wearing the cross now. It's just a nice jewelry item that I believe is actually used to mock our Lord Jesus Christ in many cases. But for the Bible-believing church, everything is different. You're not just a Christian, although you are a Christian. But you believe in God's Word. And you have the seed of God, according to Mark and Matthew and Luke. Remember where Jesus talks about the gospel of the seeds and the soils? You have that seed, that Word of God planted in you. And when that happens to you, you become a light. Jesus said, you're like a candlestick, and you're lit, and you can't be hid. You're like on a shining hill. Now, that's a problem for Christians. It's a great, marvelous opportunity and a blessing, but it also, in terms of worldly powers and our confrontation with those, it creates friction and is a problem. You see, the light means the light shining from you through Jesus to you, and then through you to the world, creates problems. Because evil shrinks from the light. Evil shrinks from the light. We start off with Jesus. He is, of course, the light of the world. Not too long ago, there was projects to create a great mirror in the sky to refract light to planet Earth, some kind of a NASA project. I don't think they quite went through with that. They even talked about using it as a weapon. With a great piece of glass or apparatus in the sky, they could concentrate the rays of the sun down the earth and literally incinerate an entire city. It could be used as a weapon. I thought about that. You know, Jesus sends His great light to us here on earth, and we're like little mirrors. And we reflect the light that is in Jesus Christ. You see what I mean? Now, I'm not comparing ourselves to Jesus. We're just little bitty mirrors. You know, just like a woman takes her little compact out of her purse. It's just about that little, but somehow she's able to see her whole face in it. I don't know how women do it, but they do. And Wanda can even see the back of her head. I have not figured that out, how she's able to do that and comb back there, where I'm just sort of guessing. Most men sort of guess anyway when they comb their hair, I think. Some men even pray for baldness, you know, just to get away from it all. But women seem to be more patient, you know, with their hair and such. But we are just little tiny mirrors. But the light that comes from us, nevertheless, is a shocking thing to the world of darkness. You know, the old movies about the vampires, I wonder if there's not a little bit of truth in that. You know, the vampires only come out at night. The blood seekers, bloodthirsty, bloodlust vampires. Because when the light comes in, I guess they just turn like to ashes or something, don't they? They just shrivel all up. I believe sin is like that. I believe, and I know you do too. That's the way the world works, through darkness. They hide things. But Jesus said nothing is going to be hidden. There will come a time when nothing will be hidden, because the light will so envelop the world in the future. You know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it talks about the great falling away in the last days, so that the son of perdition is revealed. And what happens to that son of perdition? The light from Christ Jesus comes and destroys him. Can you believe that? What kind of weapon does God have? The light will literally destroy the Antichrist. Wow, now talk about your lasers. I don't think anything we've got compares with that great light from Jesus Christ. Well, the problem, the Bible says, is that men hate the light because it exposes their falsehoods and their sins. And they seek, and have ever done so, but with gusto today, they seek to destroy the representatives of that light, the emissaries of that light, those who broadcast that light on this earth. Because we're few. We really are. We're few, but we're of that light. The Bible says these evil men and women love not the truth, whereby they might be saved, and rather they embrace the darkness. Now, we're seeing that today. You mentioned some of the radio talk show hosts, how they so hate and despise Christianity that it's like target shooting season on Christians. It comes to mind what happened up in Fort Worth, Texas, at that Baptist church where they said he was crazy. I believe his craziness started with sin and the sin of his parents. They call it insanity. I say the seeds may very well have been sin. And he hated God. And, you know, I don't want to be critical of some of those that have died there. But, you know, even that church, what were they holding? They were holding a rock music concert in a church. And, you know, this man comes in, this evil man full of Satan, comes in with weapons. And there they are having rock, polluted rock music in a house of God. And he says, this religion is, and he said a curse word as he began to shoot. Of course, nothing can justify what this man did, and that was Satan. But I wonder, sometimes, you know, Satan attracts Satan. The darkness attracts darkness. And I wonder in that case if it did. I believe that many, many kids today, precious young teenagers, are being drawn into darkness by going to church. I do. By going to church, they're drawn into darkness. That's where they learn to sin and call it righteousness. And I believe that happened perhaps even up in Fort Worth, Texas. Now, we're seeing today the fact that only Christians in America, only Christians can be hated and despised. And you can say the most despicable things about Christians and about our Lord Jesus and get away with it. Now, none of us are Catholic, but look what they did in that art exhibit just in New York. Took a Mary's picture and put elephant dung on it, and they call it art. And they want us to pay for that with our taxpayer dollars to besmirch our religion. You say, well, that was the Catholic religion. Well, I don't think the Catholic religion owns Mary. And I'm not saying even that a picture of Mary really does justice. Maybe we shouldn't even have pictures of the saints. We really don't know what Mary looked like. But I will say this. I think the spirit behind that was an Antichrist spirit to do that to that picture. That artist knew what he or she was doing. They were smearing that on Jesus himself, I believe. And that they were thinking that they were doing it to Jesus when they did it to that picture of Mary. And of course, there's so much art today that's paid for even by the federal government. Our taxpayer dollars, that is just horribly hurtful and hateful to Christianity. But you see, they can do anything of hate to us, and they say we can't complain. And if you do complain about it, they'll call you the hater. You, the one who is so hated and despised, they will blame you for that very thing. They will say, well, look at all you Christians have done over the years in the Inquisition and this and that, and you're so judgmental and you're so evil and you're so homophobic, and they've got 1,000 different words for each of us. And let me tell you, now they're trying to get these hate crimes laws passed. None of us is for hate. In fact, the Bible says, John says, God is love. God is love. How can you be full of hate? If you're full of hate, you don't have God. It's that simple. The only thing God wants us to hate is sin. Isn't that true? Now, I have to say, though, if a person is a sinner and they're doing evil things, I don't think God wants us to love what that person is doing. And I don't even agree that we're supposed to love the sinner to the extent that we compromise on what he or she is doing. And sometimes, you know, that old saying, tough love is certainly called for. And they may think when you're bringing punishment or whatever it is to them that you don't love them. But that's just the way it is. There is justice in this world and there is right things to do. And sometimes that those are called for. But we are going to be hated more and more. I understand that Chuck Colson and many of the top Christian leaders today are trying to get new legislation passed in all 50 states. They call it the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. They're trying to get it passed not only on a federal level, but in all 50 states. Basically, it's a law that says the government, the federal, state, or local government, particularly the federal governments, cannot put a burden on Christians or churches, meaning require you to do something that is against your faith, unless it's of a compelling government interest. And they say that now the government can do things. For example, the government can, through the IRS, punish a church or a non-Christian nonprofit ministry if they don't go along with public policy toward abortion and homosexuality. They can do that now, supposedly, because that's approved public policy. So churches who are still against homosexuality, abortion, and things like that are taking a risk that they could have their tax-exempt status revoked. And, of course, that's a risk that it's a pleasure to take, as far as I'm concerned. But my point is here, this law, if passed, sounds good. It will restore religious freedom. Well, you know, the Constitution says we have total freedom of religion. I don't see much restoration in a law that says they can only burden us or take away our rights if it's of a compelling government interest. What does that mean? It means whatever the government says is a compelling government interest is what they can take your rights away for. Isn't that amazing to you? Well, I got a letter recently from a man. He has a title. He calls it Pontifex Maximus. He's the head of the Church of the Creator, the World Church of the Creator. Maybe some of you saw this man on TV. I see he's on Fox News and a bunch of different talk show programs. He's with a white hate group. And there are black hate groups today, many of them. And there are Jewish hate groups, so I'm not trying to knock white hate groups. I had written a letter to Matt Hale, is his name, a very intelligent young man, after having seen him on TV. I just felt compelled by the Holy Ghost to send him a letter and tell him I was praying for him and tell him a little bit about Jesus. Because I could see his beliefs. He believes, of course, that the white man has got here through evolution and that the white man is the greatest expression of Godhood and that white men are deity. And women are deity, and that's his only God. And he's created this church. One of his members was in the news not too long ago because he went down to that Jewish daycare center and killed a couple of kids. And he killed a postman. Did you remember that in the news? Forget the guy's name, Buford or something or other. That was in the news. Of course, the Pontifex Maximus, that's the title he gives himself, sort of, you know, like the KKK, he didn't tell the guy to go kill those people. It's interesting to me that, according to Mr. Hale, a number of groups have now sued his church. Now, of course, we find this church quite evil. I do. Because it doesn't respect our Lord Jesus. This man needs Jesus Christ. He needs to be saved. And every member of his so-called church need to be saved. And I don't know whether they're 501c3 or not. I doubt it because they don't support public policy. So, you know, you can hate white people, and you probably get 501c3 tax exempt status. But if you hate blacks and Jews, you won't get it. You know, that's another little kink in the law here today. It's public policy to hate whites, but it's not public policy to hate blacks and Jews and other minorities. That's a strange, odd thing. But according to Mr. Hale, he's being sued because the fact that this man was a member of his church, they're saying he's responsible for it. Isn't that an interesting thing? And I thought about that. Now, I'm not going to take my time. There's so many crusades God would have you on. This is not one for me. But I thought about that. I understand that a Jewish group, the Southern Poverty Law Center, did sue another white power group and win on the same basis. They said that the teachings of this group inspired these people to do these foul criminal acts. Well, I thought about that. Remember the story about this Matthew Shepherd up in the Northwest there somewhere? Two guys met him in a bar. He was homosexual. They went out and killed him, hung him on a fence or something. Well, these people, the poor man, let's face it, he was a sinner. He was into homosexuality. That is a sin. And he attempted to do a sexual act with these two men. They, evidently, not because he was a homosexual, because they just were mean, cruel, evil people, killed him. So we have a whole bundle of sin there. We have a whole bundle of satanic activity. But isn't it interesting that immediately across this nation, the news media began to attack Christians who preached that homosexuality is a sin? But we also preach that murder is a sin too, don't we? We preach that cruelty to human beings, like these men displayed that killed this Matthew Shepherd, that that's a sin too. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, you see. But nobody looked at that. They said, oh, you homophobic Christians. We need legislation so that churches cannot preach, cannot teach that homosexuality is wrong. Because in preaching that, you encourage these people. You are responsible. You know, Jerry Falwell, they only know a few names, these people that so hate Christians. They always mention Jerry Falwell, Billy Graham, and Pat Robertson. And after that, they sort of run out of names. I was on an aircraft one time, as God would have it, with a young lady. She's an art teacher in some middle school here in Austin, Texas, it turned out. I was on my way back from a TV program in California. And she sat there and just berated me for being a Christian. I had my briefcase and I had my Bible in it. And it was just horrible that she had to sit there that whole flight next to a fundamentalist Bible-believing Christian. And she said, well, I'll tell you one thing. If Jerry Falwell and Billy Graham are going to be in heaven, I'd rather go to hell. That was the only name she could think of, I guess. Jerry Falwell and Billy Graham. Think about that kind of a mental attitude on her part. Hey, there's a... You know, I may not agree with everything Falwell and Graham do, and I certainly don't. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But if that's her worst examples of manhood, when there's so much evil in this world, so many evil people, I feel very sorry. She was a very pitiful example. By the way, she told me she did everything she could to bring her New Age teachings into the classroom. She said, we're told we can't preach religion or teach religion, but I get away with it. I know how to do it as an art teacher. Well, that was sort of an interesting thing. I asked her what God... Or God, as she worshiped, until she told me she was New Age. She says, do you know anything about that? I said, oh, yes. I've written books about the New Age movement. She said, really? I asked her what deity or what God or goddess she worshiped. She said she did worship one. She worshiped Kuan Yin, the Chinese river goddess. Of all of the false deities, you know, she happened to, this little obscure Kuan Yin, the Chinese river goddess. I asked her if Kuan Yin had come to her. Did she pray to Kuan Yin? She said, yes, she had prayed. But Kuan Yin, she said, I meditate and I visualize and I ask Kuan Yin to come into me. She says, but so far Kuan Yin has not granted my wish. I said, well, you just keep praying, meditating. She will.
Send
yeah, somebody that calls themselves Kuan Yin will come into your body. No doubt about it. Just keep working on that. Well, and of course, I said some other things to her too about Jesus Christ while we were sitting there. Hate crimes. Should Matt Hale, the Pontifex Maximus, be punished for what one of the members of his church do? No, of course not. And he should have the freedom to preach whatever he wants to on this side. You notice I said on this side? A lot of people can preach whatever they want to on this side of eternity. When they get to the other side, they're going to find out there's not a lot of freedoms of religion over there. When they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, they're going to be told there's only two ways to go. There are not 1,000,000,000 gods out there. There's only one God, in fact. I got this newsletter article just recently. It says, Gay Day at Walt Disney World. Isn't that wonderful? Now, if you don't think that's wonderful, you are a homophobic. hating Christian. I just wanted y'all to know that, so you'll be able to identify yourself when you look in the mirror tonight. You know, let's go back to why Bible-believing churches cannot be allowed to exist. How many of you here tonight believe that there is sin in this world? Sin in this world. Praise God, everybody here believes that. Sin in this world. There was an article recently, and of all places, U.S. News and World Report, and it was entitled, The Vocabulary of Evil. And it said, you know, we've had these horrible things happen with these kids in schools. We've had them happen, of course, at Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado, several places in the South, Mississippi, Georgia. Horrible things, shootings and all. But it just doesn't seem that there's any words to describe it. And this article said that when the talking heads on TV and all of the media savvy people talk about it, they keep saying, why did this happen? What can we do about it? And they keep recycling the same words and vocabulary, but nobody ever seems to get to the heart of the issue. Well, I read that article very carefully, and I finished the article, and I couldn't figure out what that guy was saying either. He was criticizing. He was saying, we have no vocabulary of evil. It's been diminished, or it doesn't exist like it used to. But by the end of the article, I noticed that he didn't have any vocabulary of evil. Well, you know, this Bible does. I am able to tell you what happened at Littleton, Colorado, and these other places because this Bible tells you. It does. You know, here again we get back to what the Bible says. John says in the Bible, he said, we know, and he's talking to the church, and I'm just telling you what John said. He said, we know that we are of God. Okay, that's first. Do you know that you're of God? We can know. And, now we're going to get to the other side. That's the side of the light. We know that we are of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Wow. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing declaration. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. That's what happened. Oh, it's just a couple of crazy kids. Oh, they were on the internet and they got involved with Hitlerism or something like that. Well, one was a Jew, it turned out. See, nobody has answers for these things. You know what I think it is? I think their parents were in sin. Evidently, neither one of these kids really went to church. They didn't have Bible-believing parents. Didn't have Bible-believing friends. They were into sin. Their whole lives were immersed in sin. And when they got on the internet, all they wanted was sin. They wanted to see death. They wanted to see torture. They wanted to see hideous, dark things. You know what it says in the Old Testament? God said, all those that hate me love death.
You have been listening to Bible Home Church with Pastor Tex Mars. Join with us next week as the pastor presents part two of his important series, Why Bible-Believing Churches and Christians Cannot Be Allowed to Exist in the Planned New Age, New World Order.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.